T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Critique of the very Cavallari. I just wondered if Jay Cutler hates his life, or if he'd rather be rich and single and alone.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys and highs.
I know, but God, so awkward.
I felt pretty comfortable.
She wants him to get a hobby. Sitting around can make somebody crazy. You ever see The Shining? That's from having too much time on your hands.
I don't suppose they told you anything in Denver about the tragedy we had up here during the winter of 1970?
Whatever.
We must really be high up.
What?
The air feels so different.
Agonizing.
Dad?
What?
I'm hungry.
Let's tone it down a little bit.
We'll get you something as soon as we get to the hotel, okay?
Okay, Mom.
Hey, wasn't it around here that the Donner Party got snowbound?
Please, please, please.
What was the Donner Party?
From what I've been told, I mean, he seemed like a completely normal individual. But at some point during the winter, he must have suffered some kind of a complete mental breakdown. He ran amok and killed his family with an axe.
You guys are going to be as negative as possible.
Some people, solitude and isolation can of itself become a problem.
I felt pretty comfortable.
Yo! Saddle up! Lock and load!
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons 1 to 6 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Touch of all, Chris Tannehill. The whole time during that, I felt very uncomfortable.
Nicely done. Jay Cutler as Jack Torrance.
Yeah. I didn't even see that one coming. I got to be honest with you.
Here's Kristen.
Imagine if that was the promo for next week's Very Cavallari. Just changing it up a little bit.
I did watch a little bit of it last night, maybe around 15 minutes or so. And everybody at the radio station who has watched it, who I've heard comment on it, and that means you, and it means Shep, and I heard Rick Camp talking about it on the Bernstein and McKnight show.
Whatever.
Suggesting the parts without Cutler, the parts without Jay in them, are dull. I don't agree with that. They're not fun for guys necessarily. But you've heard women probably before. Some women tell you that they prefer the company of men. You know, women don't typically have as many friends as we do.
Sure.
That's pretty common.
Sure.
If you watch the scenes that don't involve Jay Cutler, you'll learn the answer why.
There's a lot of cattiness in that show. Well, see, I only have my wife in that vein, you know, in terms of who I've watched any of this reality TV stuff with, and she hated it. Because she has no attachment to Jay Cutler, right? And so she was like, this is even on the standard.
Those women are evil.
Yeah, well, she likes The Hills. She liked Kristen Cavallari back in the day. Yeah, I mean, like, now liked is relative. She knew that she was like the mean character or whatever. But I mean, she had some sort of affinity for that Laguna Beach Hills generation, whatever level of trash television that is. But, yeah, she thought it was just positively awful. And I'm like, I think it's all awful. And she's like, I know you do. Shut up. Because, you know, and then I'm there crapping on The Bachelorette or The Bachelor or any of the other shows that she's watching.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's hard to watch. It's hard to watch. But then you get reminded that she thinks it's insane. Like, that I have some sort of, you know, something needs to be diagnosed for how I can watch as much baseball as I watch for the job. So she, you know what I mean? It's just different strokes for different folks. I can't watch those home improvement shows, mainly because I rent. But, like, I have no interest whatsoever.
You
they do
been
huge
a,
numbers.
A fun guy to have on a work crew, and I'm not too far ahead of you on this, but you would be the guy the guys who actually know what they're doing, they would send you to go look for a left-handed hammer to drive you crazy because you would wind up searching and you just wondering because there's no such thing as a left-handed
hammer. I get it. Yeah.
You would be the guy they would always play jokes on and they would always would get you to do exactly what you shouldn't be doing.
Anything to avoid actually using a hammer or some sort of construction, anything like that. I outsource all of that.
I understand. I do most of it myself.
You do?
No, I outsource that. Yeah, yeah, most of it.
Okay.
Most of it.
Good.
Not all of it.
Yeah, sure. I'll empty the dishwasher.
That's a skill.
Yeah, it's a tremendous skill because I'm told that I don't
have a skill loading it.
I know. I'm told that I don't load it exactly right.
I'm going to let something out of the bag.
Oh, okay. This is big. Hold on a second. Hold on. This hour on the score is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Go ahead, Dan McNeil.
In the event Sherry's not listening, I'm going to admit this.
Okay.
She doesn't know this, but after she puts dishes in the dishwasher when she's gone, I take them all out and wash them off and put them back in the dishwasher because she doesn't scrub enough of the stuff off of them.
What's the matter with you?
With me?
Yeah, why do you do that? The dishwasher, that's its job. You're taking away the joy of the
dishwasher. The stuff that's caked on there needs to be scraped off.
So is that worth your time? And do you do it behind her back? Obviously,
I
do
it so she doesn't know I do it. Yeah.
Wow.
It's better than arguing over it. Or better than talking about it on the radio.
That's the essence of marriage right there, boy. If I ever heard it in my life, it's better than having the argument.
Right. I don't say a word. I don't say anything.
Wow.
When she's out, I get those dishes out and clean them. Then get them in there for sanitizing.
Dan, how is Sherry with, I don't know where your dishwasher is versus where your kitchen sink is.
It's right to the right of it.
Okay. How is she with leaving dishes in the sink instead of just simply opening the door and setting the dish in the dishwasher?
Not as bad as I am. I'm more of a sink clogger. I'm more of a sink problem guy. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I'll get to him eventually.
Yeah, and I don't know.
And when I get to him, though, I'm going to get to him. I'm going to get him ready for the dishwasher once I'm good and ready.
Wow. My dad would complain about how my mom loads the dishwasher. Because he's, you know, super organized. He's like, if I went blind, I wouldn't have any problems. I'd know where everything is in my entire house. I'm like, all right, that's really cool. But so I didn't know that one plate has to be in this spot and another plate has to be in this spot and all those sorts. Well, I didn't know there was such a science to loading a damn dishwasher. It's soap and water.
The dishes, everything needs to have so you can get everything to hit the surfaces. Some things shouldn't be all piled up on top of each other so water can't hit all of the stuff. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to throw things all on top of each other.
Now, isn't a key to a long-standing marriage communication, or is that a lie? Because you're just doing it behind her back.
You're right.
Okay.
Hey, if that's my biggest complaint in a marriage, and it might be, that's a pretty good marriage.
No
question. I'd say we're strong favorites to get to 12 years this coming August.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. You're a month away. You like your chances to go another month?
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Overbetters tore up their tickets 7 years ago.
Congratulations.
I'm sorry, underbetters.
Underbetters. Underbetters. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, you almost got there. Someone texted, where's Elmora? We talked to Albert Elmora, the Cubs center fielder, about a lot of things, actually, but it began with a very eventful game last night.
That was a great game last night, man. A lot of back and forth, but definitely a fun one.
How good was Hendricks from your vantage point?
Oh my God, man, that was so fun to be a part of and to watch him pitch and just I have such a good view from center field and just seeing his pitches dance around and you see some pitches that are gonna you think they're gonna be right over the middle of the plate and then they're either really late or really out in front and it's so fun to be a part of.
He doesn't show much emotion, never really has on the diamond. How has he been off of the field during his, I guess, for lack of a better word, struggles of late?
No, he's a grinder. I've never seen him not working. He's always perfecting his craft. He's always always working and always trying to get better. So that's all you can really ask from your guys, and he's definitely what you want in a competitor. And even though he doesn't show that he's emotional, he definitely cares, and he definitely wants to be his best day in and day out.
Like obviously, Cubs fans have seen him now for years, and he puts up these ridiculous numbers, but it doesn't obviously light up the radar gun. That's been well documented. Why, from your vantage point, do you think he is so effective when he's locked in?
It's because everything looks the same. As a hitter, I mean, when I faced him in spring training and those, you know, those little inner squads or, you know, BP, whatever, it's everything comes, it comes right. It, everything looks like it's going to be right down the middle, and then it either goes left or right or goes down, and even sometimes it rises up. I mean, it's so tough to pick up spin and to pick up what kind of pitch it is because everything looks the same.
What was Andrew Suarez doing against you guys last night that gave you some difficulty?
Oh, man. You know, it's funny. I don't know if you said any of this, but me and Andy, Andy go back, man. We played together growing up. He's a Miami boy as well. And that was my first time facing him in the big leagues. And it was a fun matchup for myself personally. But for the team-wise, man, he definitely located. He had an arm side run. He had a really good downer changeup, and he worked off that cutter slider thing that he throws. So he just had everything moving. So it was a good matchup.
Talking to Albert Almora here on The Score. You almost had that catch in the.
Oh, God.
Okay. Yeah. So I assume that one upset you a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you guys know who I am. I want to be perfect out there. And, It was tough. It was tough. Hunter hit that really well, and it kept slicing away from me. And as I was running towards it, I thought I had a chance. I don't know. Something happened. I think I took an extra step because I saw the video like 100 times. I tried to pinpoint what I did and what I could have done. And I think if I would have dove a step before and dove straight down like in a down angle, I probably would have had a chance to make the play or at least get a little closer. But I think I took an extra step, and that was enough for the ball to just keep carrying past me. But it sucks. It sucks. It's obviously I didn't do anything wrong, but I want to make that play. And I feel like I, even though it's probably uncatchable ball, I feel like I still have a chance.
You said you saw the video 100 times. Was that just like highlights in the clubhouse, or did you go back and watch film to analyze if you could have done something different?
Well, I went back as soon as that inning was over. Like during the game, I saw it.
Oh wow!
I wasn't up during that inning to hit, so I went in and I just kept replaying and replaying it just to because the game was still going on. And I wanted to see what I could fix, what I could do better. So, I mean, yeah, man, I'm trying to learn. I'm trying to help the guys however I can. So I definitely felt like there was something odd as I was getting towards it when I went to lay out. So I just wanted to see what was going on.
And I believe it was the 10th inning, ball game tied, Albert. You connected and in a big way, but it just yeah. kept hooking foul when you made contact with it. Did you think you had it?
I thought I had it for sure. Mm-hmm. It started around 15 feet fair, but it was a slider, and I hit it a little out in front, so I knew that spin was going to take it back to the left side, so I wanted to graze the foul pole. That's all I wanted, but unfortunately, it didn't happen.
I wanted you to do the Carlton Fisk, and you're way too young to remember, but maybe you've seen the movie Good Will Hunting from the 75 World Series where the Red Sox Hall of Fame catcher is gesticulating, get fair, get
you're just
fair.
Waving at the ball.
Yeah, I've seen it. I didn't think about that, obviously, but I did want to stay fair, and I tried to do everything I could to lean fair, but that guy was throwing really hard, and I was good at bat, but he beat me.
Is that a weird stadium to play in, especially at your position, given what's going on in right center field?
No, I love it. I love it. I love having room to run. I love challenging myself to be in the right spot to get the balls like Hunter's last night. So. When you see me get upset, it's not, I'm not trying to show anybody up, but it's I'm upset at the fact that I'm such a competitor and I want to get the ball that guys or my peers you usually don't get to. I want to make these plays, and I want to help the guys, and so it's just I'm just being hard on myself.
We're talking to Albert Almora here on The Score. Back to another game since we last talked, the game against the Reds where Hamilton stole second and then ended up scoring on the play. We were talking it through. Were you obviously, drop the ball, whatever, like it happens. Were you trying to goad him into taking an extra base in that?
No, so when he stole second, when the ball got past second base, I knew he was going to, obviously he was going to go to third. So I came in aggressively to try to throw him out at third. Obviously I was too fast and the ball popped out of my glove. And I just looked at him. I took a quick peek to see what he was doing. I saw him looking at me and I knew he was going to go home. And all of a sudden I just, I went to grab the ball and I threw it home and he was safe. But, I did everything I could. I thought it was a decent throw to home. I always get a little short hop and it was tough for Willie. That's what happened, man. Speed kills. That's a saying, and it really makes an effect, man. It puts a lot of pressure on defenses, and it's just one of those freak plays, man. It happens.
That's what's fun to watch when you guys in the Reds get together, because both teams have defensive outfields that sparkle, and both teams like to push the issue with the opponent, and that's really what Sunday's game was through and through.
Yeah, man. We did it to Billy a couple innings later with Jehe. Base hit the center field from Javi, and Jehe was stealing at that pitch. He got the third, and he saw it throw a little floater, and he decided to take the extra ball. So, man, with games like that where we're struggling to score some runs, it's we got to find ways. We got to try to test defenses. So, kudos to them, and kudos to obviously Jehe as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that's a team-wide philosophy, right, in terms of it's okay if you guys maybe make a few extra outs on the base paths in exchange for erring on the side of aggression?
It depends. Obviously, it depends on the situation. If you're going to be out by 100 feet, then probably not the best thing to do. But if it's the scenario and the place of the game dictates that you should probably take an extra bag because of the how the pitching is dominating the hitters or whatever the case may be, then you go for it.
Albert, Danny and I, among many, rooting for you to get to the All-Star game and represent your team. That didn't happen. If you keep going the way you have, it will someday. What are you going to do with your time next week? You get a couple of days off. You're going to go back home and do a little bill fishing maybe?
No, guys. I'm staying in Chicago. We play on that second off day that everybody gets. We're playing that day. So, and if we would have ended up in the East Coast, then I probably would have taken a trip to Miami. But being in San Diego and flying all the way to Miami, probably getting in at 3 a.m. and then spending 14 hours, 16 hours at home, and then in a plane back to Chicago to rest for the next day. I mean, it makes no sense for me. So I'm just gonna enjoy my family in Chicago for those couple of days, and that's it.
You've had such a great season. It would be natural to have disappointment not making the All-Star team, or do you not even allow yourself to go there?
Obviously, being an All-Star is a kid's dream. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, it's no big deal. Obviously, being an All-Star is important for, for goals that you set as a kid or whatever it may be, but at the end of the day, I'm trying to win a World Series, and that's all. That's really all I can focus on. And we still got 2 more months of baseball, so 2 or 3 more months. So I don't really look too much about this. I let it fuel me, guys. That's all it is. It's just more fuel to the fire. And I've gotten a lot of nice texts and a lot of from my teammates when all these announcements came out. And they gave me big hugs and they were like, hey, man, you're an All-Star in my book. Forget about this and just keep going. So that's all I really asked for.
You going to watch the game?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to cheer on Javi and Willie and Lester. So that'll be a fun game to watch.
Who's the coolest person that, maybe we would not expect you to have heard from that you were like, oh, damn, that was cool that person reached out?
To congratulate me, like on what I've done.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? It was when I was on third base. We're playing the Reds, and Suarez asked me if I had made it. I said no, I didn't. But and he put his arm around me. He was like, dude, you've had a great season so far, and like, man, it's been fun to watch. So that was nice. When your opponents recognize your game, and that was it.
Albert, we wanted to ask you also, the sad news around the team with Ken Revizza, the sports psychologist who had the heart attack. Yeah. How much, it's a name that a lot of Cubs fans probably didn't know. Can you explain what he meant to you and the team?
Well, he was a big part of our organization. We have a lot of meetings with Ken individually and as a team during spring training. He came out during the season all the time. He was in L.A. a couple weeks ago. And he's just – it's really tough to explain what Ken brought to our team just because it has no words, man. He was there. His job was one of the toughest because, you know, being up the mental skills, it's – you're dealing with guys that usually aren't in good moods. When you're talking to a mental skills guy, it's you know, it's things aren't going as well. Because, you know, when you're doing well, no one – you don't have to talk to him. But he would still find – no matter how you were doing, he'd still find a way to come towards you and just put a smile on your face. He always had a smile on his face walking around and interacting with guys. And the one thing that really stood out is that no matter what was going on and what you were talking about, when you spoke to him, it felt like you were the only person in that room. Like he was devoted 120% just to you. And, man, it was something truly special. He's definitely going to be missed here.
It's well said. So many people around baseball will talk about the mental grind of the game. What's the toughest part of the mental side, right? The physical side is pretty self-explanatory, trying to hit a 97-mile-an-hour pitch that's moving. What's the toughest part about the mental side of the game?
Well, the mental side is the failing aspect. And that's it's really all it is. It's you're a Hall of Famer if you hit 300. That means you're failing 70% of the time. You know, and I mean, it's sometimes, you know, you're hitting balls right at people and you're out. So no one sees those. No one, you're just seeing the box score and you're just like, they're 0-for-4. No one sees the three hard lineouts. So that's the toughest part about this game. And it's the only sport, I think I've said this, it's the only sport where you're on offense and you have no control of the ball. So, I mean, it's a game of failure. I think a lot of people could play this game from the physical standpoint of it, but I think the great ones are separated from the mental side of it.
Albert, good stuff, man. Enjoy San Francisco. Finish out strong before the break, and we'll talk to you soon.
Keep grinding, Albert. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
See Take care.
Week. McNeil and Parker's on the score. Northwestern football. The Wildcats are coming off a 10-win season, and they host Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more this fall at Ryan Field. Season and single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. We appreciate Albert Almora's time every Tuesday at 2 o'clock. I'm not sure, since you and I have been doing this show, if anything has been said that has resonated more with our audience in a relatable way than you readjusting and reloading the dishwasher behind your wife's back.
Yeah, this happens in many households, we're learning.
Unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it on the text line.
Conflict resolution.
It's just avoiding the conflict.
Absolutely. What you do is avoid the conflict. Keep your mouth shut and do what you got to do.
Yeah, I guess. I didn't know. I thought that my parents were kind of the outlier in having dishwasher
dysfunction.
Dysfunction. Yeah. I was going to say disagreement, but yeah, you're right. It's dysfunction.
The silliest things can separate people, can't they?
Yeah. And then, like, they, you know, it's just my mom will, like, not often, but I mean, multiple times a year when we're up there, so who knows how many times it happens when it's just the two of them in the house, when she'll be like, yep, I loaded the dishwasher incorrectly. Tom's changing the dishwasher. So it's not a cleanliness thing. It's like this thing's in the wrong spot, and I don't get it. I had no idea. My sheltered upbringing, I guess. Yeah. I had no idea.
Do you and Steph have a dishwasher?
Yeah, of course
okay.
We have a dishwasher.
No rearrangement of it? Nobody fixing it after the other has left the room?
No. I mean, listen, Steph.
That you're aware of.
That I'm aware of. Steph definitely enables me. I'm fairly useless around the house. She asks me to do things, and then I do them to the best of my abilities. I'm good at unloading. Like I unload the dishwasher. The simple.
You're good at that, huh?
The simple household
taking
task.
Taking plates and forks and knives out. I got that skill down for you.
I got it down. I generally speaking.
Man, that Syracuse education.
I'm a pretty talented guy. I generally speaking know where the stuff goes, but we got like a lot of different types of wine glasses, and sometimes it's confusing. Stemless, stem, tall ones, short ones. I don't know. But yeah, you know, so if she thinks that I can do it, She entrusts it to me, but a lot of the things I don't do.
Being a germaphobe is a curse. It really is. You know, when you go to a restaurant, do you even look at silverware or glasses, stemware, anything?
No.
Before? See, I can't. It's a habit of mine to always take the fork and immediately clean it with my cloth napkin. Like,
wow.
For a minute, I'll wipe it down. Yes.
I mean,
I don't assume it's been washed.
I mean, that's...
How do you know the cloth is safe?
That's a good point by you, Tanny.
Excellent question. But also, I mean...
Somebody might have sneezed in it.
It's been washed. Restaurants wash their stuff.
But stuff falls on floors all the time. Yeah.
Sure.
Restaurants do wash stuff. You ever worked in a restaurant?
Yeah, I worked in a restaurant. It's fairly clean.
Uh-huh.
Like, I can't think in my entire... So have you sent back glasses and said, this knife is not clean, this fork
yes,
is not...
Yes, I have.
You have.
Sure.
Wow.
Yeah. When there's crust on it, it goes back. Can I have a clean fork, please?
I couldn't bring myself...
Can I get some water, please?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, boy. I've had a bad month in the service industry.
I've
been on the pay no mind list everywhere I go.
Highfalutin Dan McNeil over here.
What am I, a mirage?
Where?
Dance the water over here.
I mean, in fairness, that was pretty bad service for you.
Yeah, and then he threw away my meal.
Yeah.
He took my... I was gonna... Never
there was mind. Legitimate reason yeah, for complaint mind. There.
He just dumped it in the bus tub. Played up.
I get uncomfortable when people are, like, send stuff back.
I kind of do,
or
too.
Or criticize the wait staff or thing. Like, it's the service industry. It's a really tough job. They're literally bringing you... They're cooking the food for you. They're preparing it. They're bringing it to you.
So you appreciate the people who are doing the work that,
always.
You know, a lot of us don't want to do. Good. We'll be good dinner partners then if the score ever travels us anywhere, because I feel the same way. I always try to be nice to the service staff. I always overtip. I try to remember the names. If I forget, I will ask during the meal. I'm sorry. Is it Brian? Brian, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's how you treat people.
Of course.
The right way to do it.
I genuinely am very thankful that my parents made me get a job at an early age, and it was, you know, just start here. Whatever. And I worked, did all different things.
At the country club?
No, it was at a restaurant, you jackass.
Well, that,
Boston Blackies.
There's nothing wrong with working at a country club. It still works.
I did not belong to a country club. I caddied for one summer. Not good for my scoliosis. Pretty athletic guy. Yeah. Pretty athletic. To go? Waiter?
I'll give you asthma.
I'll give you asthma. Smart ass. I'm not going to miss you for a second. Delivery driver?
Okay.
A lot of radio time spent there. A lot of windshield time. Not very good at it because I was terrible with directions, and so sometimes it would take me a while to find places in the pre-GPS days. But
how delivering food?
How hard are directions to follow?
It's tough, man.
Like, you even had MapQuest back in the day.
One-way streets.
Six blocks this way, take a right, and then take a left.
You got to remember the directions,
right,
and then it's, you know, one-way streets.
What were you delivering?
You can't see the number. Food. Boston Blackies, like bar and grill food. You know, they had steak, but, you know.
That was a job for you all in college?
Started when I was 15. So all through high school and then two summers back from college. It was what I would do to make money when I was working for you for
yeah,
free.
That, it wasn't my choice. I would have made you pay us.
Yeah,
my oldest did that too when he was in college, and I hated it. I was so proud of him that he was willing to go work in a menial job like that, but I had such a fear that he was going to wind up getting his ass kicked for a bag of sandwiches and $20 change he might have on him.
Get robbed?
Sure. In a college town?
Yeah, okay, so right. I'm delivering in the North Shore.
Right.
I was perfectly fine.
Yeah, I mean, he's at Indiana State where college, you know, hey, let's roll the pizza guy, you know?
Sure. Yeah, over 20.
It happens every month in this country. Some pizza delivery guy gets his ass kicked.
No, the worst thing that happened when I was delivering was I had just a big bag, you know, a bunch of burgers and wings, and there's large order of wings, probably 24 of them, bottom of the bag. Whoever bagged it wasn't me, kitchen manager, whatever.
Start the buses!
That's right. Walk into the house, white shag rug in this, you know, North Shore Highland Park mansion.
Mm-hmm.
24 buffalo wings right on the floor. Just
lovely.
Screaming these people at me.
Were they really?
Oh, like they were screaming at each other. I was like, it's not his fault. I guess it's mine. And then I had to go back and bring him a new order of food and just.
I hope that stain on their nice carpet was the worst thing that happened to them all week.
That's the thing. I didn't feel too badly for them. But, I mean, yeah, they did not handle it well. You would have thought it was World War III that had come to their doorstep. I'm telling you, that's the thing. You learn about how people deal with it and how so many people are unbelievably rude to people in the service industry.
I'm not surprised.
It's just an entitlement that I can't, and especially where I grew up and the money and all of that, I'm sure that exacerbates it. But it was mind-boggling to me how entitled people could be because you're delivering them a cheeseburger medium well with some Swiss cheese. I ordered cheddar! All right, sorry, man. Like, they messed it up. We'll bring it out.
Right.
5 minutes. You don't need to scream. it's not that big of a deal.
Next time, be more careful.
Exactly.
I didn't make it. I'm just delivering it.
Like, when I dropped the tray of martinis at your feet and got at some of your clothes. Like, man, yeah, okay. I probably deserved a little bit of a scolding, but come on. I was smoking. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes next on The Score.
Transition with Lawrence Holmes brought to you by Aruba Tourism. In Aruba, your daily commute can be from your beach chair right to the crystal blue Caribbean Sea. It's time for an escape to sunny Aruba. Plan your Aruba vacation today at aruba.com. Lawrence, do you change the dishwasher behind your wife's back after she loads it or vice versa?
No.
I didn't know this was a thing.
Change it. Why?
Because they maybe
loaded
incorrectly, or they don't rinse it off enough, and so there's gunk on the food that the dishwasher can't handle.
Oh, no, I don't do that.
Hundreds of people relating to Mac on this issue.
You do that?
Yeah, I do that. That's my only complaint.
Neither did I.
If you know what, if that's your biggest complaint, you can spill wings on me all day and I won't get upset, Danny Parker.
I will say the only frustration that I have with Mel in this department is if it's something that can easily be hand washed and it goes into the dishwasher, I'm like, I feel like that's a waste. Like if you use the cup, like just quickly hand wash it and put it back in the cupboard. Like not everything has to go into the dishwasher all the time.
Especially a water glass. Like if you had water with dinner.
Correct.
Little rinse.
And you're probably good.
I'm the same way, but my wife disagrees.
I want it real hot. I want it real hot. Yes, I want it to burn my hand when I open the dishwasher. Oh, there it is. Now it's clean.
No, it feels like it's been sanitized because of how hot. Like yes. You get the steam as you open up the dishwasher. That is specific.
Yes.
I didn't know that there are a lot of people who felt that way.
Neither did I. It's been a...
I don't know how we came.
Revelatory? Yeah, that's what it's
revelation.
Been. Yeah, I've had a revelation. It's been revelatory this hour. I did not know this was a thing among people.
Give Shep all the big words.
Okay.
Yeah. You see the way he writes? Did you read his Kristen Cavallari, Jay Cavallari show piece?
I did.
That kid's got some writing chops.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah,
I enjoyed the show. Did you guys watch it?
I watched
about 20 minutes of it last night, and what you said is what everyone here is saying. The stuff without Jay is not very watchable.
It's not for us. You know what I mean? Like, and we should know that. It's not for us, but I love that Jay's kind of there with us. Like, Jason, they're going, this is bad. Well, what you're seeing right now is bad. I thoroughly enjoyed him explaining to the young lady that works at the store to stop parking on his GD grass.
Right.
That reminded me of my father.
Cones right there, and no one parks in the grass, especially when it's the driveway is huge.
Yeah.
Why are people parking on the grass?
That's a good question. There's plenty of room there. Those women are evil. Maybe that's why. Scenes where they're just...
The redhead
Oh, man, is she mean. She is as mean as a snake.
Like I said, my wife enjoys reality TV, and she thought it was awful. And because she has no connection to Cutler, I found him pretty damn entertaining, but I will be floored if I'm still watching that thing in 3 or 4 weeks. Like, I didn't think it was that entertaining.
It's one of those things where you'll see the clips on Twitter.
And that's enough.
And it'll be enough for you to enjoy it.
100%. Like, that's where my show content is at this point.
I don't know. I'm kind of drawn into how evil those chicks are. I want to see more of it. I do.
That's the appeal.
That's the draw.
I guess.
And it's interesting because what was the show that Kristen was on? Was it the OC or was it...
The Hills and Laguna Beach.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. So she wasn't necessarily the star of that,
correct?
It was a.
It was Lauren, right?
Yeah, it was an ensemble cast, right? She was like the mean one.
But see, that's my point. My point is that that redhead is getting her own show. And she knew that the way to get her own show was to just come out like just guns a-blazing
and be brutal
for everybody. She's got candy for everybody. But yeah. Jay makes it palatable. And it's just funny to me because I spend so much time with Jay that anyone who covered Jay, this is what we've been telling you. Like, people haven't believed me when I said, Jay's funny. Jay's really smart. And Jay's wit is extremely dry. And for some people, if they're not around it a lot, and I noticed this when national reporters would come into town, they took press conferences from Jay way differently than the people who were in the room with him mostly every day. Like, we were, I guess, used to the way that he communicates, so it didn't seem that jarring to us. And what Jay might, you know, have a flippant, snarky comment that he's kind of just kidding about was sometimes taken as offense by people who were covering from out of town.
I'm still really skeptical that it would have worked on a national television broadcast, though. Even though he's undeniably smart and undeniably funny in those scenes, I don't know that that humor in the context and the confines of a football broadcast would have been able to come through.
See, here's the thing. I don't think that you were going to get that version of Jay. I think that the Jay that you were going to get on broadcast was the cerebral version of him. The guy that can break down plays. Because if you talk to people up there, his issue wasn't that he didn't know where a ball was supposed to go. His issue was, I've got enough arm to put the ball wherever I want the ball to go. So if I see a window that's open, I can farve it to that window even when he shouldn't. The thing with D'Angelo Hall, remember the 4-interception game? There is a direct line back to one of Jay's first practices with the Bears where before he even knew some of his teammates' names, he had gotten picked off. The defensive guys celebrated because back in those days, the defensive guys were celebratory. And he was like, who is that guy? It wasn't one of the stars. He's like, who is that guy? We're going to pick on him all day. That became his thing in practice. So, like, when I saw the D'Angelo Hall thing, I was like, yep, seen this before. He's already got it in his mind that he has to now beat D'Angelo Hall. And it's the weakness of Jay Cutler. That his, if he feels an affront on a field, his ego takes over. And it sometimes leads him down a terrible path. It's also probably what got him to the NFL. And it was his biggest Achilles heel.
His inability to work with people is why I was delighted to see the Bears finally part company with him. And I think that was his biggest detriment. His inability to be part of a team. Not even talking to an assistant coach. For year one, wasn't it year one when he wouldn't even look Pep Hamilton in the eye?
Yep.
I don't care what you think of this guy, whether he's qualified, because some question whether Pep was qualified. Doesn't matter. He's your positional coach. You owe him a conversation. You can argue, but at least talk to him. Jay Cutler. I don't miss him.
I'm ready for the Mitch Trubisky era. I'll tell you that much. My thing with Cutler was he made the same mistakes in year 8 with the Bears that he made in year 1 with the Bears.
100%.
I didn't cover it, but I watched every game. The mistakes were identical. It was the same player. He had plenty of talent. So I don't know if it was that he didn't work or why it didn't happen or if it was ego or he thought he was already so good, but the mistakes were identical.
That's the tragedy of Jay Cutler, because if you were having a quarterback combine, he'd be in your top 3 or 4. If you were just doing like combine drills with quarterbacks, where you can place the ball, the athleticism, the build, you would go, oh my God, this is perfect.
Yeah.
A 6'3", 220-pound quarterback that can throw the ball a mile and can run. You know what's fun? I always say this to people about Cutler. Go look at his high school tape. It's so fun. And not just the football, because Jay was a really good basketball player too. And him just getting out on sprints and yamming on people in high school, it's great. He was like a punt returner in high school, just running people over. It's so much fun. It's like it's 10 minutes of your time, and you will thoroughly enjoy it.
Oh, I promise you. I'm in. What do you got tonight?
Tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the White Sox. I haven't in a while. I want to talk rebuild, and I want Cubs fans to lend their experience to White Sox fans. I'll explain what I mean after 6 o'clock. And I went back in the archives and listened to a little bit of Theo and Jed on the process of rebuilding. I want to share that, too. We're going to listen to Rick Hahn, who spoke today over on 35th and Shields. I want to talk a little bit more about the hockey conversation I had last night. Dexter Fowler tape and you guys' ex-boyfriend, Matt Spiegel, is going to join me at 8 o'clock tonight in studio.
Hugs from me.
Absolutely. Ask him how his poker session went today. I know he was out there.
Yeah, don't be telling people that.
Why?
You don't want people knowing. And now people know. That's what he was doing.
It's not a secret.
It's not now.
It's definitely not now.
I mean, if it was a secret for some reason, I apologize, but my bad.
Too late now.
Yeah. He'll be fine. Thanks to...
He'll be fine, you know.
Albert Almora for coming on the show. Michael David Smith for coming on the show. That was it, right?
Bruce Levine helped us from the ballpark.
Yes, he did. Nick Chepkowski, Chris Tannehill, our fantastic producers. He's Dan McNeil. I'm Danny Parkins. We are McNeil and Parkins. Lawrence Holmes is up next. This is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.